Good afternoon. The city council will come back to order. Do we need you to call the roll again, Carla?
Yes.
Yeah. Carla, please call the roll.
Novick.
Here.
Pritz.
Here.
Fish. Hales. Saltzman.
Here. Okay, could you please read our one item we have this afternoon?
Item 1333, accept September 2016 Socially Responsible Investments Committee report.
Great. And just before I turn it over to Commissioner Novick for some opening remarks, just simple rules of respect and courtesy. We ask that you not clap or boo, that if you support what somebody's saying, you can do a thumbs up like that, or if you don't like what they're saying, thumbs down, or you can wave your hands. But it's very disruptive, and it only takes longer when we have to pause and for claps and boos. So I would ask that you do that. And we'll open it up by turning it over to Commissioner Steve Novick.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. I'm pleased to welcome everyone here today to hear about the work of the Socially Responsible Investments Committee. I'd like to start by thanking the members of the committee for their hard work on a challenging charge. And that's putting it mildly. Dave Cutler, Sayer Jones, Bob Landowner, Young Nam, Katrina Scotto DiCarlo, and Kristen Sheeran have gone above and beyond in their work in this project. I've been incredibly impressed by and grateful for their hard work and thoughtfulness on difficult and often emotionally charged issues. I'd also like to thank
Kelly Ball, Janet Storm, and Jennifer Cooperman for their diligent staff support of the committee.
I'd also like to thank Kelly Ball, Janet Storm, and Jennifer Cooperman for their diligent staff support of the committee. This committee's report will inform Council's consideration of the Do Not Buy List extension. The resolution with that extension will come to Council on December 15th at 3:30 p.m. I wanted to make sure to announce that because in our documents we indicated that the next step would happen on December 21st. We've been juggling a lot of Council items for the rest of the month with different items, and it seemed logical to move this one to December 15th. So I'd like to start by asking our panel to come up and present. Kelly Ball, Sayer Jones, and Jennifer Cooperman, can you please come forward?
Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you for having us here today. My name is Kelly Ball, and I work in the Office of Management and Finance, and I'm the facilitator and one of the staff support people for the Socially Responsible Investments Committee. Today, we're asking you to accept the committee's report. So the report outlines the committee's recommendations to Council for the city's corporate securities Do Not Buy List. However, the decision about what is ultimately included on the Do Not Buy List is determined by Council. So for today, we're just asking acceptance of the report. I'm planning to provide a brief overview of the process and will be followed by Sayer Jones, who is a committee member and a spokesperson for the committee today. And Sayer will provide information on how the committee made their recommendations, and it will be followed by the city's treasurer, Jennifer Cooperman, who will provide information on financial impacts. In 2014, Council established a temporary committee that was charged with making recommendations on how the city could change its investment policies to incorporate social and ethical concerns. They met six times that year and produced a report that had several recommendations, many of which are incorporated into the December 2014 Council resolution that created the current Socially Responsible Investments Committee. The current committee began meeting in September 2015, and they meet monthly. This is a seven-member committee, and currently we have one vacancy, and I appreciate that Commissioner Novick already read their names. I'm going to read their names one more time. They've done a lot of work on this, and I think they need some recognition. Dave Cutler, Sayer Jones, Robert Landauer, Young Nam, Katrina Scotto DiCarlo, and Kristen Sheeran. The committee is charged with recommending corporate issuers once per year by October 1st for inclusion on or removal from the city's corporate securities Do Not Buy List for direct investments in corporate securities. Council established social values and concerns, or as we refer to them, council principles, which are used when considering a company for recommendations to the list. So I'll go ahead and read those concerns. There are seven of them. Environmental concerns, health concerns, including weapons production, concerns about abusive labor practices, corrupt corporate ethics and governance. It's a mouthful. Extreme tax avoidance, exercise of such a level of market dominance so as to disrupt normal competitive market forces and impacts on human rights. Committee meetings are open to the public, with public comments taken during every meeting. Before determining a recommendation, the committee has adopted a system for selecting companies well in advance, and this allows them time to hear public comment, conduct any of their own research, review the MSCI reports. I'm not even going to try and explain. The MSCI reports, the acronym is what it's called, but they are proprietary environmental, social, and values investments research reports. And so they have those that they can review. They're quite hefty on each of the companies. And they also hear financial impacts from the city treasurer. This year, the committee reviewed 20 companies. And of those, they're recommending 10 for the city's do not buy list. The committee recommendations report was submitted to council on September 30th. Then it was posted online on October 3rd, at which time we started a public comment period that lasted until October 31st. And council, your offices were provided with copies of the comments and the reports. I'll now turn it over to Sayre Jones to talk more about the committee's recommendations and the committee's process. Sayre.
Thanks. How far away from this thing should I sit? Is that good? Hi there, I'm Sayre Jones. I'm the committee's representative to present the report to council. I wanted to thank the council for the opportunity to get real. Yeah, is that better?
You can pull that whole thing closer to you.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to miss my thank yous. I wanted to thank council for the opportunity to get deep into this work. It's been very personal for most of the committee members. But I know I've learned a lot, and I came away from a lot from the process. The staff support for the committee has been excellent. Katie Shriver, Kelly Ball, Janet Storm, in particular, have done an excellent job in maintaining the keeping us on track and even just making the photocopies. I wanted to thank the city treasurer, who has participated in every meeting to date, and I especially want to thank the community members who, by and large, have showed up today because they've brought a lot more integrity to the process. The idea of socially responsible investing is pretty old. It probably came to the Americas with the Quakers, who were divesting of companies that were involved in the slave trade. So the fact that our city is contemplating divestments is not a new notion. I think what's changed over the past probably 4 or 5 decades is the complexity and width of which companies in the world that we invest in have expanded. And it is very hard to discern what is a good or a bad company. At a high level, the question that the committee had to grapple with was, in our opinion, are the business practices of the largest companies in the world consistent with our values as citizens of this city? For instance, are we comfortable with profiting from incarceration, from child labor, from the destruction of our environment? The lens we have used to evaluate these companies was provided by council, but the internal process used by committee members to turn qualitative information into an up or down vote was deeply personal and required reflection on individual values mixed with a vision of who we think we are as a city. The committee is recommending the following companies be added to the City of Portland's Do Not Buy list: Walmart, Wells Fargo Bank, Caterpillar, the Bank of New York Mellon, HSBC Bank USA, JP Morgan Chase Bank, Amazon.com, Nestle Holdings, Credit Suisse, and Societe Generale, that is, if their eligibility is restored. Making these decisions was complex, time-consuming, and often very emotional. This work was isolating and offered very few avenues for unified support of positions. Committee members have remained collegial, even with dissenting views, and each member has found themselves in the minority in decision-making in our work at least once. We were tasked with reviewing huge amounts of information, quite literally a pile of reports about this high, and also independent reports supplied by community members, and we also did individual research. For myself, I was spending 6 to 8 hours per month preparing for each meeting. It's important to understand that the committee was, to the best of our abilities, following through on the committee charge. We were not tasked with taking moral stands on companies, nor were we to consider investment risks. But often it's hard to not use those two criteria in making selections. Risk of loss of income was always presented to the committee by the treasurer, but the consequences of potential losses of income were not what guided decision-making. Instead, the committee took the criteria, the seven values, set forth by the council and worked toward consensus about individual companies using those values. The committee was not charged with determining the trade-offs of the do-not-buy-list additions in terms of jobs or program cuts or other things. Our committee prioritized the worst of the worst companies first, leaving many bond issuances off a review list that there was little community concern over. We started by looking at companies where there was assumed issues or known controversies. We assume that as the remaining companies are reviewed, there will likely be less names added to the list than this time around. The committee would also like to point out that though there is a calculation of what the loss to the city would be, this is a worst-case scenario and is not analogous with actual losses. Though we do acknowledge that the more names that get added to the list, the higher the likelihood it would impact returns. One other point we'd like to make is the most recent Wells Fargo controversy happened after the committee had voted to add them to our list, so it did not influence our decision-making. I know that there was concerns earlier about a flavor of the day sort of permeation into this process, but we had already made the determination that Wells Fargo had continued to pursue bad policies and governance consistently compared to some of their peers who seemed to be demonstrating a more positive trajectory post-recession. The committee also has some questions and clarifications that we would like counsel to consider for the committee going forward. We needed guidance from the council on how to address investments in companies that might invest in or hold stock in companies that do not meet our criteria. For instance, most banks hold stock of oil and gas companies through passive accounts held on behalf of clients. Should we consider those types of holdings? Also, large companies like Berkshire Hathaway hold many types of investments, like railroads that transport coal and oil through our state. Should our list consider those underlying investments, or are we only to consider the business of the main fund? We also need council guidance on how long companies should be given to fix issues. For instance, what could Walmart do to come off the list? What is the right demonstration of virtue? And how long would it take, how long would they need to show that to us in order to be removed? Authorizing some type of function, further action short of the do not buy list would give the committee and our citizens a forum to file grievances that might be transactional in nature versus systematic problems with the company. This would let those companies know our plans to divest if things did not change and potentially bring about the changes we would like to see. Lastly, we would like you to consider how broad the charge should be. For instance, we bank with Wells Fargo, we buy gas from Chevron, yet we do not invest in them. I guess we currently invest in Wells Fargo. This incongruence of mandate has been discussed often by the committee, and it is something we'd like clarification on.
Thank you. And thank you for your service. Ms. Cooperman?
Good afternoon, Jennifer Cooperman, City Treasurer. I've participated in the committee's process as a subject matter expert. I'd like to take a few minutes first to review some general points regarding the city's investment process that may be helpful for the audience in the room. Then I'll follow with an assessment of the financial impacts of the committee's recommendations. So the city funds that are under discussion are the city's operating cash, the city's checkbook, if you will. The city receives various payments, such as tax payments, utility payments, permits, parking fees, debt proceeds, etc. Treasury places some of this cash on deposit with banks, while the rest is invested until it is needed to pay vendor bills, payroll, and make debt payments. Investment earnings, net of the administrative cost of running Treasury's operations, are distributed to all city funds and are incorporated into bureau budgets. The city's bank deposits and investments are limited to those permissible by Oregon state law, specifically ORS 294 and ORS 295. State law prohibits public funds from being invested in stock, equities, mutual funds, or money market funds. The city's investment policy is written in accordance with state law, reviewed by the Oregon Short-Term Fund Board, reviewed by the city's Investment Advisory Committee, and adopted annually by City Council. In accordance with state law, the city's investment objectives are, in rank order, first, preservation of principal, second, providing liquidity to fund city operations, and three, to earn a market rate of return. By adopting minimum credit ratings, maximum maturity limits, and using portfolio diversification, Treasury manages the portfolio's interest rate risk, inflation risk, and credit risk. Specifically regarding corporate securities, state law allows up to 35% of the city's portfolio to be invested in highly rated corporate bonds and commercial paper with a limit per issuer of 5% of the portfolio. Given the minimum credit ratings and the three-year maximum maturity limits specified in the city's investment policy, Treasury has identified only about 50 corporate bond issuers with debt securities outstanding that meet the city's investment criteria and are therefore eligible for the city's investment. When we eliminate entities that have issued $10 million or less in bonds, we're left with only about 40 eligible issuers. So to put that in perspective, the committee reviewed about half of the eligible universe in its first year of operation. Not all eligible issuers, ones that meet credit ratings and actively issue, not all of these 40 to 50 issuers are active in the space that the city can invest in, that three-year space. Not all of these eligible bonds actively trade in the secondary market, and not all of these eligible bonds are priced to offer good relative value when they are made available. The eligible universe of bond issuers is fairly static. Issuers get added if they issue bonds with 3 years or less to maturity that meet the city's minimum credit rating requirements, or if credit ratings on their outstanding bonds that have 3 years or less to maturity get upgraded so that they meet our minimum requirements, or if previously issued longer-term bonds that meet our credit rating requirements reach 3 years or less to maturity. Conversely, issuers are removed as their outstanding bonds mature or if they get downgraded below the city's minimum credit rating requirements. Entities with short-term liquidity needs may choose to issue commercial paper, and at any point in time, there are about 5 to 10 commercial paper issuers that qualify for the city's direct investment. So with this background on the city's investment process, I'll now address the financial impacts of the committee's recommendations. In my September 13th memo to council, I discussed the financial reasons we invest in corporate securities. Corporate securities provide portfolio diversification, and they offer additional yield over alternative investments such as U.S. Treasuries or U.S. agencies. That additional yield compensates us for assuming the credit risk of these corporate securities. Treasury's analysis of historical interest rate spreads indicate that three-year AA3 rated corporate bonds have offered an additional yield of 91 basis points more than comparable maturity treasuries over the period 1997 to 2016. If we assume an average $1.5 billion portfolio that's fully invested in corporate securities to the 35%, this higher average yield translates to $4.7 million in additional investment earnings per year over the comparable term treasuries. Treasury's analysis of the city's actual investment earnings over the last five fiscal years indicates that corporate securities have averaged 17 to 32% of the total portfolio and have contributed 24 to 41% of the city's net investment earnings. In dollars, over the last five fiscal years, corporate securities have contributed $1.2 to $4.5 million per year in additional net investment earnings over alternative investments. Treasury's recommendation is that Council not limit the city's investment options that enable Treasury to earn interest income that goes to fund Bureau programs and services. If Council does approve a do not buy list, Treasury recommends that it be limited to as few names as possible so the city's already limited eligible universe of corporate issuers can remain as broad as possible. Corporate issuers that are removed are not easily replaced, particularly at equivalent rates of return. In my October 25th memo to Council, I responded to two of the committee's recommendations, the first of which pertains to private prisons, even though there are no private prison companies that have debt outstanding of a high enough credit quality for the city to purchase, and the recommendation extends to the banks that finance those private prisons. It's a slippery slope to reach beyond a specific company or industry on the do not buy list to the banks that provide their financing. It's not clear that Council intended the committee to reach this far. Treasury's recommendation is that if Council does add a moratorium on investments in private prisons, that the moratorium be only on direct investments in the companies that actually own and operate these for-profit prisons. The second recommendation asks that the do not buy list be used as a tool in the city's general procurement process. The city's procurement process is governed by Oregon state law and Portland City Code. Generally, any qualified business may participate in a competitive city procurement. Given the extensive work the city has taken over the last 10 years to assess vendors' corporate responsibility with policies, commissions, community forums, and given the risks of violating procurement law, Treasury's recommendation is that the do not buy list not be used as a tool in the city's procurement process. That concludes my prepared remarks, and I'll turn the floor back to Commissioner Novick.
Thank you. Were there any questions?
I have a question. How long have we been investing in corporate securities?
In 2010, hold on. You have my memo.
While you're searching, I will commend you, Treasurer Cooperman, because you have done a wonderful job of looking after the city's money, the citizens' money, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yes.
Kelly's found it for you.
Got it. In 2009, we invested only in commercial paper up to 25% of the portfolio. In 2009, Council added a new category, which was federally guaranteed corporate bonds up to 3 years maturity, up for 25% of the portfolio. In 2010, we renamed that category to be corporate indebtedness, and we expanded it to include AA-rated corporate bonds up to 18 months in maturity, ones that didn't necessarily have a federal government backing to them. And we increased the corporate limit to 35% from 25%. In 2012, the council extended that 18-month allowable maturity to 3 years. And in 2013, in accordance with ORS 294, the category was expanded to include single A-rated, A3A-minus rated bonds issued by Oregon companies.
So that prior to 2009, we didn't invest in these kind of securities.
We only invested in commercial paper, the very short-term paper. We didn't invest in bonds.
Commissioner Fish is not able to be here today. He had been pre-scheduled to be out, but he had the good suggestion when I talked to, well, the thought last night that maybe we should just not invest, we should go back to the prior policy in 2009 and not invest in any of these corporate businesses. So I just wanted to put that out there, and I know that that'll be part of the discussion in 2 weeks. And also, if people are wondering why Mayor Hales is not here, he's in Mexico on a climate change delegation. Obviously, we're all very concerned about what's going to be happening with that as well. So although he is definitely very supportive of this process and thanks you, that's where he is. It's not that he's not interested in this. Thank you, all of you, for your work.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. And Commissioner Novick, did you have additional remarks before we go to testimony?
Yes, I did want to have a few things to say. First of all, I want to note that, as far as I know, we're the only jurisdiction in America that has a process quite like this. other jurisdictions have divested from particular industries. I'm not aware of another jurisdiction that has adopted, that has adopted a process where we have a do not buy list that's based on criteria that could apply to any sort of company. So that's one of the reasons this has been an extremely challenging process. And Kelly and Janet and Jennifer and Katie Shriver of my staff and the members of the committee have been engaged in, I think, an almost unprecedented process. And I want to thank them again for all of their hard work.
Okay.
This whole, this whole thing was my idea. So I feel something of an obligation before people start to speak to let you know some of my current thoughts on this issue, because I think I have a responsibility to suggest to my colleagues what version of a do not buy list we will consider in a couple of weeks. And I know that my current thoughts will be anathema to a number of people here, and that's part of the reason I want to give them, to give people a chance to respond to what I'm currently thinking and possibly change my mind and also, you know, inform
colleagues' decisions.
When I came up with the idea of a do not buy list, I was thinking it would be a short list that applies to the worst of the worst of companies, as Mr. Jones said. I want to give you an idea of what I meant by the worst of the worst. My assumption is that in a barbaric capitalist economy, most big companies do at least something which progressives might find offensive. My thinking was the do not buy list would only apply to companies that do things that within the context of our barbaric capitalist society are unusually offensive. In particular, I was thinking that when we look at this list of criteria, I wasn't planning to recommend that a company go on the list unless it violated more than one of the criteria, because my thinking was probably any company would violate at least one. Looking at the list that this hardworking, thoughtful committee have brought forward, I do have a couple of concerns with regard to that idea of the worst of the worst. One is that some of the companies are on the list, at least in part, because of who their customers are and what they do. My thinking is that in a capitalist economy, most companies will sell their product or service to whoever will buy it.
So asking a company
to say that it won't sell to certain customers seems to me to be going beyond asking a company to not be evil and asking to be sort of affirmatively good in a way that I don't know is normal in a capitalist society. That's one concern. Another concern I have is actually reflected in the committee's deliberations on one company that's not on the list, Johnson & Johnson. The committee said the discussion on Johnson & Johnson was tabled, will be taken up at a later date. Discussion included the lack of comparison information for other pharmaceutical companies. That struck me as a reasonable concern, because I think that if we put a company on this list, people will assume that that means that it is worse than other companies in the same business. And here I will talk about a specific issue that's before us. There's the only reference I'll make to a specific company. With regard to Caterpillar, the committee's recommending we put it in the do not buy list essentially as a weapons manufacturer, thinking of bulldozers as weapons, which sells to a country which the committee believes is engaged in human rights violations. There are no other weapons manufacturers on our eligible issuer list. So the idea of putting this one weapons manufacturer, if you see them that way on the list, concerns me, because I think that some people, not knowing how limited our eligible issuer list is, might draw the conclusion that Caterpillar is the only weapons manufacturer that sells to countries that violate human rights, and frankly, that Israel is the world's worst human rights violator. And I do have to tell you that in an era of rising anti-Semitism, I am concerned about making a suggestion that would play into that. So I just want to let you know that those are some of my current thoughts, which obviously can change and maybe not be shared by the rest of the council. I also wanted to mention that as staff, as I think both Kelly and Jennifer noted, when we developed the charge of the committee, we directed the city treasurer to purchase and the committee to use a subscription from a company that gathers information to inform investors that are interested in environmental, social, and governance outcomes. The treasurer purchased a subscription to MSCI, a respected independent provider of research-based reports and analysis. The reports offer an independent assessment of how each company fares on a variety of principles which overlap with, although not identical to, the council has adopted. So as the committee in their own deliberations and I in my deliberations, and I think my colleagues are going to be looking at the MSCI reports, which unfortunately they're proprietary. We can't disclose them, but I'll let you know that those will be part of our discussions. So thank you very, very much, everyone, and I look forward to what I know, based on lengthy conversations with a number of you about these issues, will be a lively discussion.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, panelists. So we're going to move to public testimony, and I know we have over 100 people signed up, and we're only going till 5 o'clock. So we're going to have to limit people's testimony. One thing I would say, that if somebody else says exactly what you're going to say, you can maybe raise your hands or do a thumbs up and maybe consider not testifying. But we're going to have to somehow get everybody who wants to testify in by 5. So we're going to start out at 2 minutes each for everybody. And as time goes on, if we have to ratchet that down to 1 minute, we'll do that in order to be out of here. And then, and the only thing, when you're Carla will call names 3 at a time. There's 3 microphones there. Come on up. And you only have to give us your name. Unless you're a lobbyist, if you are a registered lobbyist, you have to disclose who you're here on behalf of. But otherwise, you can just give us your name. You don't have to give us your address. So with that going, we'll...
Disability or...
Oh, yeah. We always ask whether people with disabilities or people with young children would like to go first. So do we have anybody with young children in the audience? Or... Okay. I don't see anybody. Oh. Okay. Well, why don't you come on up, and then, Carl, you want to call 2 more names?
Yes, the other 2 who are first on the list are Randy Rosenfield and Amanda Aguilar-Shank.
Okay, so we have our first 3, and I said we're going to go to 2 minutes each. There is there'll be a warning buzz at 1 minute, 1.5 minutes, and then you have 30 seconds left, and there's a clock right in front of you. Why don't we start with you, sir?
Okay. My name is Michael Triguboff, and I have notes here. The BDS movement and its local chapter, Occupation Free Portland, their goal is to delegitimize Israel and demonize Israel.
Could you speak on the microphone? Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. The BDS movement and its local chapter, Occupation Free Portland, their goal is to delegitimize Israel and demonize Israel supporters. They intentionally misuse emotionally loaded terms like genocide and apartheid. On apartheid, Israeli Arabs, Christians, and Muslims both have the same political and civil rights as Israeli Jews. They serve on Israel's Supreme Court, its parliament, its diplomatic court, the police and military, and they represent the country in sporting and artistic and academic endeavors. Genocide. This is just vicious propaganda at its worst. Where are the concentration camps? Where are the ovens, the smokestacks, the piles of corpses? Saying that Israel is committing genocide is just vicious propaganda. BDS, which is what's behind this idea of going after Caterpillar, accuses Israel of acting colonially. This ignores the fact that Jews lived in that place ever since there have been Jews. They are not colonists. That's where they're from. BDS singles out Israel as the target of their animosity. They apply standards to Israel that they apply to no other country. They don't target products sold to Syria, Iran, North Korea, or Saudi Arabia, places which violate human rights in ways that are orders of magnitude worse than anything that happens in Israel. Israel is a democratic country that represents the rights of gay people and women. It has by far the best record on human rights in the entire Middle East. Prominent leaders have condemned the tactics of this BDS movement. Hillary Clinton said that countering BDS should be an American priority. Suzanne Bonamici is co-sponsoring a congressional resolution rejecting the tactics of BDS. Kate Brown, along with 32 governors, has condemned the tactics of BDS. I'm done.
Your time is up.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Ma'am,
with you.
My name is Randy Rosenfield. And I attended the Human Rights Council meeting when they discussed divesting from Caterpillar. By far, the justifications centered around Israel's supposed abuses against Palestinians. Today, we're being asked to divest from Caterpillar, but the Palestinian Authority and a range of West Bank and Gazan businesses have not divested. They buy caterpillars from the Palestinian Tractor and Equipment Company. I'd like to read from that company's mission and commitment statements. As a caterpillar dealer, we contribute to the welfare of our community and the development of the country. We support improvements in health, housing, water, and other services that are needed to improve living conditions and the Palestinian economy. Does it make sense to divest while the Palestinian Authority and this range of West Bank and Gazan companies do not? Is the SRI committee well-intentioned but misled? Calls to divest from Caterpillar have frequently been used as a means for Israel bashing. Citing the company's involvement with the Dakota Pipeline is a recent and convenient cover. But maybe we should be asking a different question than who to divest from. With all the hatred in the world, let's find instead bridges Israeli and Palestinian co-owned companies to invest in. They're out there, and we're really interested in standing up for human rights. Let's do the right thing.
Thank you. Okay, please just give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Amanda Aguilar-Shank. I am Deputy Director of Enlace, convener of the National Prison Divestment Campaign and the Portland Prison Divestment Coalition. I live and work in Portland. I've been active in social justice causes for over a decade. And we're here today because our communities are hurting. Our families are being torn apart by the criminal justice and the immigration systems. These should be sources of safety, sources of fair application of the law. But instead, they're inflicting deep harm and they're sources of human rights violations. The harm is felt most sharply by immigrants, Muslims, Black and indigenous communities, LGBT communities, and people struggling with mental health and addiction. And these are some of the most resilient, powerful, and valuable communities that we have here in Portland, but they're also the most targeted for immigrant detention and incarceration. We have nearly 1,000 Portlanders each year that are transferred to a for-profit immigration detention facility in Tacoma. 100 of them are youth, and we fear that this number will be rising under Trump. The harm we're experiencing is not natural, necessary, and it's also not a mistake. Incarceration and detention are increasingly systems that are designed to reap huge profits for investors and CEOs at our community's expense. And shamefully, Portland is one of the investors that is reaping benefit from this industry. Corporations like Wells Fargo and JP Morgan Chase are fueling prison expansion, as we'll document with future testimony. And we are implicated as a city in that. As taxpayers and as a broad coalition, we believe our taxes should be used to fuel investments in healthy and strong communities, not to fuel a system that dehumanizes us, defrauds us, destroys our natural resources, and locks us away. So we're here today to unite behind the SRIC recommendations and hope that you will do the right thing by approving them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next three, please.
Are Jamie Trinkle, Roberta Philip Robbins, and Casey Jama, and they'll be followed by number 6, 7, and 8, Bob Hornstein, Craig Burney, and Rabbi Fisher.
Okay. I thought I saw Casey Jama here. He's in the overflow. Okay, so he's on his way. Okay. Go ahead. We'll start with you, ma'am.
All right. My name is Jamie Trinkle. I'm the Senior Campaign and Research Coordinator at Enlace, convener of the Prison Divestment Campaign, and the Portland Prison Divestment Coalition, which includes 23 organizations that demand you take bold action today. Whose money is fueling the harms Amanda just mentioned? Ours, the City of Portland's. Wells Fargo, JP Morgan Chase, HSBC, and Bank of New York Mellon are major lenders and active investors in private prisons. Banks bankrolling prisons is what allows prisons to expand, build new facilities, and lobby for lock-em-up policies that harm Portlanders and communities of color nationally. The City of Portland currently holds millions in corporate bonds from these banks, and no screen is available to prevent our money from being invested in prison expansion. The problems of mass incarceration, immigrant detention, and of criminalization of our communities are large, but not so large that they cannot be solved. When the City of Portland takes a step to cut ties, we will become national leaders. We will become the first municipality in the country to cut our ties with private prisons and to publicly chastise prison lenders and investors. Other cities are already reaching out to Enlace, looking for Portland's leadership and asking how to follow. We will be part of financially isolating the prison industry, stopping its growth, and eventually of curbing the expansion of mass incarceration and hypercriminalization. Ensuring that the City of Portland does not invest in banks that profit from and provide credit for the expansion of private prisons will keep our community and members out of the cycle of criminalization. Adding banks to the Do Not Buy list is the start of a meaningful conversation with these banks. When they stop the harm, when they stop investing in private prisons, we can reinvest. Our immigrant, of color, Muslim, Indigenous, and LGBTQ communities are looking to you to take bold, creative, and holistic action in the face of the threat Trump poses to our freedoms and lives. We need you to do the right thing. City Council today should uphold its commitment to not invest in human rights abuses by following the SRI committee's recommendation to add the banks involved in lending to and investing in private prisons to its Do Not Buy list. I also fully support adding Caterpillar and banks financing the Dakota Access Pipeline to the Do Not Buy list.
Thank you. Roberta?
Good afternoon, Council, guests, Roberta Phillip Robbins, MRG Foundation Executive Director. Where we choose to invest is a statement of our values. City leaders are entrusted to be good stewards of the public dollar. Once again, Portland can be a national leader here. Divesting from the for-profit prison industry will send a strong message that our city is brave enough to take the lead to end a perverse relationship wherein corporations make millions of dollars on the criminalization of poor people and people of color. The City of Portland should use public tax dollars responsibly and as a mechanism to achieve social justice, as a leverage point to demand equity, not as a mechanism to dehumanize the poor and communities of color. City Council should honor the process you set in motion and adopt the Socially Responsible Investment Committee's recommendations to not buy bonds of the 10 corporations identified by the SRIC as the worst of the worst. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Casey Chama. First of all, happy holidays, everyone. I'm the Executive Director of United Oregon. We are a statewide organization led by people of color, immigrant refugees, and rural communities, and people experiencing poverty. We are working across Oregon to build unified interracial movement for justice. We're here today to strongly support placing this list of bank profiteers of the prison industrial complex into the Socially Responsible Investment Committee brought forth by Commission Novick. Immigrant refugees and people of color are disproportionately impacted by mass incarceration in prison and in detention centers around the country, including the one in Tacoma. The number of is alarming. U.S. now increases 25% of its world prisons, about 25% of world's prison population, and has 5% of the world's population. No other country incarcerates such a large number of people of color, immigrant refugees, and low-income communities. The City of Portland should not be in the business of profiteering from this. We are calling for end by the city investment in prison profiteers. By investing prison profiteers, the city financial future depends upon this profit. This is an opportunity for us to do the right thing. I want to quickly share with you my experience when I went to a young man who went to sent to Tacoma. His infraction was simply not paying few times for his max ticket, and he was sent to Tacoma. It took me 2.5 months going with his family to release from Tacoma. That's just one example of many. I encourage you to adopt this policy. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Next three.
All right, Bob Hornstein, Craig Burney, and Rabbi Fisher, and they'll be followed by 9, 10, and 11, C.J. Robbins, Audrey Alverson, and Shabre Vickers.
Welcome. Again, you just need to give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Bob Hornstein. Thank you for this opportunity to speak in opposition to the proposal to put Caterpillar on the Do Not Buy list. I'm with the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland's Community Relations Council, which is reflective of a broad cross-section of the Jewish community. We have representation from every congregation in the Greater Portland area, from humanist to Orthodox. That allows us to speak on behalf of the organized community on a range of issues. And I'm telling you that because despite the presence of a small fringe Jewish group on the opposite side of this issue, from the outset, from the time the Human Rights Commission considered this misguided proposal, our community, the mainstream Jewish community, has been unified in its opposition to the proposal. For us, it's not about Caterpillar per se. It's about the divisive agenda from the groups that are driving this proposal, that being the so-called Occupation Free Portland, or just the local version of the anti-Israel boycott, divestment, sanctions, BDS movement. A couple of quick points. Caterpillar was certainly originally targeted because it sells equipment to the state of Israel through the United States government. We were curious to know why the SRI committee, for example, didn't consider companies that sell products to the Syrian government, which has slaughtered hundreds of thousands of its own citizens, the worst of the worst, as Commissioner Novick stated. Why not consider car companies whose cars are sold to Saudi Arabia, where women cannot even drive? Or how about companies that sell to Iran cranes that are used to string up and display the corpses of Iranian gay people? The other point I want to make is that we believe that much of the evidence that was presented to the SRI committee and before that the Human Rights Commission was one-sided and inaccurate. So, for example, both the commission and the committee considered evidence from Human Rights Watch, but in a New York Times op-ed...
All right, Bob, your time is up. Thank you.
Where was it? Okay. Craig Byrne here to speak on the same issue. And first of all, Commissioner Novick, thank you for your comments at the beginning. I think they were really well taken and should be considered strongly. PSU President Vim Wiebel, in a letter dated June 2nd, noted that the tone and tenor of the BDS movement has made members of our campus community feel unsafe and unwelcome at PSU, and it is not acceptable to marginalize or scapegoat them. Anti-Semitism cannot and will not be tolerated on our campus. He was speaking about the exact same coalition that brought the proposal on Caterpillar to the Human Rights Commission a year ago, and now the same proposal that's here before this city council. Look, this is a complicated, difficult issue. There are rights and harms and suffering on both sides with the Israelis and the Palestinians. The Jews have a historic claim on that land that dates back 2,000-3,000 years, and have dreamed over that period of time during the diaspora, when some Jews were still in Israel and most were out, of returning to their homeland. The Palestinians have lived there centuries and have great claims on that land as well. But that issue is not going to be helped in any way by this council condemning one company that does business with both sides, the company that does business through the United States government with the Israeli government, and also, as Randy Rosenfeld testified before, with the Palestinians. This is not going to help constructive, productive measures that encourage both sides to take risks for peace. There are a whole bunch of efforts and things out there that if people are concerned about a peaceful resolution, a two-state solution, an acceptable sharing of the land that this city council could support, including organizations that are based here in Portland, Oregon. But the BDS movement is not that movement. It's not going to help productive. It's going to help demonize one side, meeting the definition of anti-Semitism. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Rabbi Fisher. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for pointing out that our climate in our country has changed and there are great concerns that have come up. And some of the concerns that we've noticed over the past few weeks and really months is that on the far right and far left, there have been groups, fringe groups, that have been hiding under rocks for a long time that have now come up. And some of these groups are already celebrating what the SRI Commission committee has put forth, because they see this rightfully as, if not by not intentionally, but by default, anti-Semitic. Now, I've spoken to many people who support this, and they are well-intentioned people. We're not in any way suggesting that everyone, or maybe not anyone, suggests supporting Portland's SRI divestment from Caterpillar, but what we are seeing is that this is supported and emboldening the fringe elements which are anti-Semitic. And I beg you to please consider that, even beyond the merits of the company itself, which I think was, eloquently pointed out, it doesn't fit the committee mandate. And as Commissioner Novick stated, they go beyond singling out this one committee, this one company. And to us, the singling out of the Jewish supported company does hurt us tremendously and does smell of anti-Semitism. Please consider that.
Thank you. I understand we have Commissioner-elect Chloe Udaly in the audience, and if she wishes to testify, we'll afford her that courtesy at this point.
And the other two with her will be C.J. Robbins and Audrey Alverson.
Start with you, ma'am.
Good afternoon. My name is Audrey Alverson. I'm the vice chair of the city's Human Rights Commission, and I'm here to make a statement on behalf of the commission. The Human Rights Commission would like to acknowledge the importance of including impacts on human rights as one of the criteria by which the Socially Responsible Investments Committee evaluates the city's investments and purchases. It is through this lens specifically, impacts on human rights, that members of the Human Rights Commission last year evaluated and endorsed a request by a community group called Occupation Free Portland to place Caterpillar on a do not buy list because of its complicity in human rights violations. Today I'm here to reaffirm the decision that HRC made last year and to urge you to move forward with the recommendation of the SRI committee regarding Caterpillar. Today you will no doubt hear from numerous community members who will spell out in detail the human rights violations that Caterpillar is profiting from, not to mention environmental, labor, and corporate ethics concerns. And because some of these human rights violations occur against civilians in Israel and Palestine, you're also hearing from many who argue that placing Caterpillar on a do not buy list is anti-Semitic or anti-Israel. The Human Rights Commission faced the same divisive support and criticism in relation to our decision last year. The pressure put upon us to reverse our decision was immense and at times included threats and bullying. Today I'm here to assure you that the Human Rights Commission stands by its decision and in no way believes that placing Caterpillar on a do not buy list is anti-Semitic or anti-Israel. We did not examine this request through a political lens, but rather through a human rights lens, one that stipulates such rights should be protected for all people, regardless of their politics, nationality, or religion. As a City of Portland Commission guided by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, we urge you to stand up for human rights for all people and to include Caterpillar on the Do Not Buy list. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Good afternoon. My name is C.J. Robbins. I coordinate an effort called Black Male Achievement for the City of Portland, which is housed in the Office of Equity and Human Rights. This effort is led by a steering committee of 20 black men who represent community through their leadership in business, government, nonprofits, and philanthropy. I'm speaking today on behalf of the steering committee. I'd like to thank Mayor Hales, first of all, and council members for your continued support of BMA and what I know will be a thoughtful consideration of the proposition before you that we must invest in that which we value. If we want safer, healthier communities, we must invest in people, not prisons. I've heard a lot of statistics and data today, so I won't reiterate what's already been said, but I will say that we've gone from approximately 500,000 people, inmates in jail, to 2.2 million in the span of about 30 years. I don't have much time, but I want to take a second. 2.2 million people in this country are incarcerated. Some of them are in private prisons. It's the responsibility of the state, if they're going to condemn people to prison, to take on the responsibility of housing and ensuring that those people's human rights are considered and cared for. Further, because Oregon has no private prisons and does not send inmates to private prisons out of state, investing in private prisons means uplifting companies that operate outside of the standards of our state Department of Corrections. Our state has made a clear statement that private prisons do not fit within the state's values. In closing, the Black Male Achievement Steering Committee supports the recommendations of the Socially Responsible Investments Committee to add the previously named organizations to the Do Not Buy list. We also fully support the inclusion on that list of Caterpillar and any other organizations that invest in prisons. Let us invest in that which builds social capital in all communities by focusing on our equity values that we have articulated and adopted for our city. Let us put our money where our mouth is. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three.
Next three. Shabre Vickers, Roz Roseman, Richard Toll. They will be followed by Isabella Fernandez and Peter Parks, and also Maxine Fuchsen.
Okay, Ms. Vickers, we'll start with you.
Great, thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners Novick, Fritz, and Saltzman. My name is Shabre Vickers, and I come before you today in my role as Chair of the Human Rights Commission. You've heard from Audrey Alverson, our Vice Chair, and are more aware of why our commission moved forward with the suggestion to the Socially Responsible Investment Committee to further look into the option to add Caterpillar, an American company, to the City of Portland Do Not Buy list. At such a time as this in our nation, and more so across the globe, I urge you to consider the reason the Socially Responsible Investment Committee was formed. Consider the reasons and rationale the committee was given to use as tenets of their work, those seven values inclusive of human rights abuses. Intentional and clear, decisive action towards social responsibility is not something to take lightly at this time. Your decisions as elected officials are and should always move towards action that ensures basic human rights are upheld, as noted in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The more recent oppressive, explicit, and overt hate incidents here in Portland and across the nation require that we, as community members, discern clearly ways to take action that preserve human rights. I ask you to consider the lens you asked the Human Rights Commission to utilize in our work, and why that work is important in actions and decisions that you have before you today. On OPB and NPR earlier today, an interview made mention of the anti-Semitism both you referenced earlier and that was referenced here. However, the point of the interview was to ask us all to recognize the complexity of this concept in our new reality post the election just a few weeks ago. You cannot deny the complexity of these issues. However, the SRI committee is asking you to respond as you first asked them to do. The semantics behind what is or what is not a human rights abuse can be made more clear today, defined in your actions that you take. I lift up the 4,000 mentions of appreciation that came to us after our decision, and I want to say that anti-Semitism cannot and will not be tolerated. However, neither will human rights abuses. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Roz Roseman, and I'm not here to talk about Israel as a home of last resort for a beleaguered people, or as a bastion of democratic government in that part of the world, or whether there are or are not violations of rights there. I'm asking you not to use a do-not-buy list proposal that demonizes Israel. I could remind all of us, including the Human Rights Commission, of the long list of countries in the world with minority populations who stand accused or proven to be violators of human rights, including accusations against the United States. Is that committee prepared to study what companies to boycott in all these countries? I will remind us, sad and angry and hurt as many of us are, that somehow UN agencies and others, like this committee, enjoy the game of making Israel their main accused of choice, their repeated accused of choice, while ignoring so many other countries with proven bad human rights records. In 2016, Amnesty International said the world reached a nadir of human rights and listed 10 countries they considered to have hit their populations or their protective institutions. But I won't regale you with that list, pro or con, or ask you, why was that committee picking out one country and not all 10? I'm not asking that committee to list the companies that sell to Russia, China, Hungary, Pakistan, Gambia, and so on, or ask you, what research did the committee do itself? I'm here to talk about the role of city government, where your resources, your money, and your time should go, and it is not dealing with what other countries do. You do know what your role is. It's to represent all of us. I'm asking you, please do not sow disunity in our city by taking on international matters. You have enough to do. Worry about the bike lanes,